Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved brothers and sisters, my radio family. I greet you in that name which is above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus. And I pray that you're being blessed today. And even if you're in the midst of a battle, may you know and may you trust that the Lord is with you and He will give you victory as you stand upon His word, as you walk in the authority that God has given you. And listen, if you need prayer support, that's what I'm here for. At the end of every broadcast, the announcer gives the mailing address, and I do invite you to write. In fact, I have a few testimonies to share, but that would underline what I just shared. Here's just a portion of a letter from a sister writing from San Diego. She's a partner with the ministry, and she said, Dear Sister Glass, your letters come at the perfect time, and your message is always what I need to read at that moment in my life. Well, that's only the Holy Spirit, so all praise and glory to Jesus. Amen. So I do invite you to write, but right now, we want to go back into the Word of the Lord that we began on yesterday's broadcast, talking about the four living creatures of Ezekiel. Such a strange description of these strange living creatures, as Ezekiel calls them in that first chapter of Ezekiel. And we found in a subsequent reference, subsequent vision, Ezekiel 41 and 18, he clearly defines them as cherubim. And as I shared, some commentators say that these are just symbolic creatures, but I don't think, as we look at Scripture, I believe both is true, that they are literal living creatures before the throne of God, and also they have symbolic significance and meaning, and that is, of course, what we're going to spend time looking at. That what application is it? Are they important for us, to us? They obviously surround the throne of God and they have a function there, but does the Scripture give us any understanding and relevance for our walk as Christians? And well, we're going to find that out. It's fascinating. So I hope that you'll be able to stay with me. And if you miss any broadcast, feel free to go to unveilchrist.org, where you can rehear one or catch up on any that you missed. Praise God. So we were talking about the actual living creatures and how they're represented in Scripture. And there is a reference in 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, verse 27. And again, this was represented in artistic form. It talks about Solomon building the house of the Lord, as he was requested to by his father David. And he, Solomon, sent the cherubims within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubim so that the wings of one touched the one wall, and the wing of the other cherub touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. And he overlaid the cherubims with gold. Then also, there is a passage in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 2, and perhaps a familiar passage, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried one to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And then a final Scripture reference I'd like to share with you is found in Revelation, the 4th chapter, verses 4. I'll start reading there. Well, let's see. No, I'm sorry, not 4. We're going to make it verse, actually start at 6. And before the throne, this was a throne of God, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Praise God. All right, I've shared some scripture reference with you about the four living creatures, the cherubim or seraphim as they're called. But for our purposes, what do these living creatures symbolize? Well, one way of interpreting this scripture is that they are cherubim who are, this is, you know, some commentaries saying this, composite forms symbolizing the winds, or more generally, the forces of nature, which bore up the God of Israel as he rode upon the clouds. Psalm 18 and 10 says, for example, and he, referencing the Lord Almighty, rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. Psalm 68 and 4 says, Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Before the establishment of the temple at Jerusalem, Jehovah was known in Shiloh, that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, as he who is enthroned on the cherubim, that's 1 Samuel 4 and 4. And so the description we see in Ezekiel, that first chapter, is that of the throne of the God of Israel. He is the God of heaven and earth, whose throne is mobile. He's equipped with wheels and borne about by the cherubim. The throne is not stationary. It can move in any direction as a chariot throne. And so as we've read this portion of Scripture, you have may have noticed a similar reference. Whatever import these living creatures may have for Israel, the visions of God that Ezekiel the priest had, they're strikingly similar to the living creatures of Revelation 4 that I just shared with you. And I've said that these, according to some, these living creatures are symbolic in meaning, and there is significance for us in that. And I'd like for us to look at these four living creatures as strikingly symbolic to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at first hand, you might say, oh my goodness, that's stretching it. But as we begin to look at these living creatures, their characteristics, we see there are some parallels, and therefore making them a symbol or type, if you will, of the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ here in the earth. First of all, let me share this. They are similar in their origin. These living creatures before the throne of God resemble the church in how they came into existence, if you will, the origin. In verse 4 and 5, it says, Ezekiel had that vision that out of the midst of a whirlwind, a great cloud, and a fire that was enfolding or taking hold of itself. Now, in Scripture, we know the fire, the cloud, and the whirlwind are suggestive of the mystery and the judgments of God. And all of these appear in the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which he went through on Calvary for our sakes, the great atonement. And also, the fire, the cloud, the whirlwind, they're suggestive of the Holy Spirit. And what do we see? What's the application? Well, the church is born of God in the mystery of godliness and delivered from the judgment of sin. We know from Scripture, according to Acts, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3, that there was a a significant and actual day that the church was born. And it was born, if you will, on the day of Pentecost, out of fire and out of wind. What does the scripture say? How exciting and thrilling. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, those 120, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. So, beloved, just as the church was birthed in the fire of God, in the wind of God, so these living creatures come out of the very power and presence of God. Of course, they're created by Him. He has created all things for His pleasure, and for His pleasure they are and were created. And we, beloved, you and I, those who have declared their allegiance, who have confessed Jesus as Lord, we also have been birthed out of the fire. Oh, what a shame, what a pity it is that many today do not walk in that same fire. They do not walk in that anointing that the early church has experienced, how they were birthed. My goodness, Peter's very first sermon, they were cringing and hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. What happened after that baptism of power, after the Holy Spirit came to birth the church and to fill every one of those? There were 3,000 added to the church after his first sermon. And he said, these men are not drunken, as you suppose, it's only the ninth hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophets. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, your sons and daughters will prophesy. The prophet Joel, he's talking about our day, where there's no male or female, where God is raising up and equipping his people to do those greater works. Even greater works than these shall you do. That's what Jesus said. Praise God. Well, we're just on the very first similarity, or symbolic meaning, if you will, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on. But I'd like to share a portion of a letter from a brother, a partner, writing from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he says, dear Sister Judith, I've known you since 1978, before you married Brother Neil Glass. We did that in 1980. And you have always practiced what you preach. That is why I love and respect you. Sister Judith, you have always been a blessing and inspiration to me. A brother writing from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Praise God. Well, all glory to Jesus. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying I love you, and may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,